Good evening to our Central Baptist Church family, friends, and viewers. Today is Wednesday evening, June the 10th, 2020. We're glad that you're joining us. Tonight, we're actually going to be looking at passages out of the book of John, chapter 13. So if you've got your Bible, flip over there to the Gospel of John and chapter 13. In just a few moments, we'll be getting into our Bible reading and Bible study. We do want to remind folks, please keep J.C. Williams and his family in your prayers. Today we had the sad and joyous occasion to lay to rest our sister in Christ, a charter member of Central Baptist Church. J.C.'s wife, Joanne Williams, passed away at age 82. Today was her funeral. So please keep the family in your prayers as they'll be enduring some difficult times as they go forward. But if you've got your Bible, like I say, we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and it's a passage that you've heard of some, but maybe it's not preached on a lot. And I think part of the reason that it's not preached on a lot is that there are a lot of people who just don't like the concept that this passage teaches. So let's get right into it. John chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, says this. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he had come from God, and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he had girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' Verse 11, 'For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am so. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.'" Let's pray together. Father, we want to come to you today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the examples that you give us. Lord, I pray that as we gather around your word today, that you will truly speak to our heart, that we might be drawn closer to you, and that we truly might have the opportunity to be your hands and your feet in this lost and dying world. So help us, Father, as we study your word today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I want you to think for a moment about a time when you did something in service, maybe for somebody else, that was really humbling to you. Now, let me kind of give you an example. When I'm talking about a situation like what we're reading about in John chapter 13, I'm talking about something that's really outside of your comfort zone, something that maybe even made you feel uncomfortable. When we look at this particular situation of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, a lot of us can maybe picture in our mind what that would be like. But it's not going to have the impact on us just to think about it as it would if we actually went out there and did it. It would be different for me to sit back and say, well, think about what that would be like if you went over and washed a neighbor's feet. And I'm not necessarily talking about somebody in your immediate family, but maybe somebody that's a friend, a loved one, a brother or sister in Christ. And you went over there and you actually did a foot washing. Think about how that would make you feel. I mean, you go over and say to your friend, "Yeah, hey, I want to do an act of service. I would like to wash your feet." They would probably be a little freaked out about it, and so would you. It would be something that would really be taking you outside of your comfort zone. So I want you to kind of think about those concepts as we take this time around the Lord's Word, and think about how that would make you feel. Now, in our story today, Jesus is has shared a Passover meal with the disciples. Now, when you think about what the Passover meal really is all about, there's kind of a twofold thing. If you go back and you look in the Word, it really commemorates the time of the Exodus when Israel left Egypt. But it's also that time that during the 10th plague on the Egyptians that that God actually spared His people. If you remember the time where it said that as a believer that you were to sacrifice a lamb and that you were to spread the blood of the lamb on the side post and the door post, and as the death angel would pass by, would see the blood of the lamb and pass on by. So there is another example of the Passover. So Jesus has just shared this Passover feast with his disciples, and we see that the devil was up to some interesting business during that Passover feast. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 actually says, "And supper being ended," or depending on the translation, "during supper." So look at it again. "And supper," verse 2, "being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." We know that Satan was at work in the heart of Judas at that point to go ahead and plot the betrayal of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting enough that Jesus knew this as well. John goes on and he begins to talk a little bit about where Jesus came from, as well as where he was going. Verse 3, it says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself." John is letting us know that Jesus is from God. Just to confirm once again what the Word had been telling us, what Jesus had been preaching, is that he was the Son of God. And it also said that he would be going back to God. Look at the latter part of verse 3, and that he had come from God and was going to God, knowing that essentially the crucifixion was at hand. The crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was beginning to culminate. The beginning, like some would say the beginning of the end, but I don't like to say the beginning of the end because there was no end. It was the beginning of the beginning. Now, if Jesus would have been crucified and put in that tomb and never resurrected, then it may have been the beginning of the end. But that's not what happened. After Jesus' crucifixion, he was in that tomb for 3 days. He rose again on the third day. And I like to call it the beginning of the beginning rather than the beginning of the end. Now, it's interesting what we see Jesus do by way of an example. It says that he got up, he girded himself with a towel, and it says in verse 5 that he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, you need to have the concept of what that meant. That was a lowly job. That was something that nobody signed up for. Nobody said, "Hey, look, I want to be the foot washer at my house." I guess it would be like Mike Rowe's dirty jobs these days. It wasn't considered anything that was glamorous. And yet that was people would do that when they went to another's house. If you've been traveling, the feet were dusty, kind of like taking your shoes off. But anyway, their feet would be washed. So the interesting part of this is who is doing the washing of the feet. Yeah, when you would think about the concept of tradition and history of that day, it certainly shouldn't be Jesus the one doing that, because they looked at him and they honored him. They called him teacher. They called him Lord. They knew that his position, as far as all the people in the room, he was the one that had the highest position. So they were sitting there thinking, why on earth is Jesus doing this lowly, meaning, it's a meaningful, but meaningless. It's not something that Jesus should be doing. And ironically enough, verse 5, it says, "And after he poured the water in a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. that Simon Peter came up to him, and you know, about the time he came to Simon Peter, and he said in verse 6, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Yeah, Peter understood the concept that that was not a position that Jesus should be in. He's like, "Why are you washing my feet? You're Lord, you're Master." And Jesus answered to him, and he gave him a really interesting answer in verse 7. He said, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." He said, "I'm going to teach you a lesson. I want you to understand that feeling of humility from being the receiver of one who is having his feet washed by one who is greater, being that of Jesus." Peter was the one who said, "Lord, you're not supposed to be washing my feet. I'm the one that should be washing yours." And Jesus said, "You don't get it right now, but when I get done, you're going to understand why I have done what I've done. And I will explain it to you here shortly." So when he said that, you know, he says, Peter says in verse 8, "You shall never wash my feet." Peter was always that guy that for some odd reason had a mouth big enough that he could get his foot in it. Although I love him, I love the circumstances and situation that surround Peter throughout the New Testament. It was so funny because Peter's like, "Oh no, I can't let you do this, Lord. I'm not going to let you wash my feet because you shouldn't be doing this. That is not your position. Not going to allow this to happen." And then what he says to Peter, he says in verse 8, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him and said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So he kind of put it plainly to Peter. He's like, "No, no." He said, "I'm not asking you, Peter." He said, "You know, if you don't allow me to do this, then you have no part of me." And Peter got it. Peter understood. He didn't understand the lesson that was being taught at that point, but he understood that Jesus was going to wash his feet, and that for him to be a part of what Jesus wanted to do and wanted to teach meant that he needed to allow Jesus to do this. So in verse 9, when Peter finally gets a little bit of the idea that Jesus is saying, "Hey, look, I need to do this." Verse 9 says that Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Now he's sitting back saying, "Okay, if you want to wash my feet, if that's a big lesson that you're wanting me to learn and know and understand, that's well and good. So why stop with my feet? Why not everything else? Because God, I know that what you're going to do is something that's going to be big." But again, Peter had it completely out of context. He had no idea at this particular point what it was that Jesus really was trying to teach him. So Jesus had to make a little bit of an explanation to Peter there in verse 10, where Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Now, I think sometimes that might be a line or a verse that would be used by a child who doesn't like to take a bath, would sit back and say, "Oh, well, look at John chapter 13, verse 10. It says, all I have to do is wash my feet to be clean." Well, mom and dad don't buy into that. That's not what Jesus was saying. Let me give you that verse 10 in a different translation. In the ESV, it says, "Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." So what it was that Jesus was trying to get across to Peter at this particular juncture and at this particular point was the fact that he used a couple of different words, a couple of different Greek words when he was making this explanation. The difference between the two terms, I won't give you the Greek speak, as it were, but he used the two different Greek terms. And what they did was the difference between the two terms that Jesus used were almost the same. It would almost be like in English, the words wash and bathe. If you tell somebody, you say, "Well, go up and bathe," or you say, "Well, go up and wash." A lot of times we would translate that the same way. But it was different. The Greek word, the way that it was used in one context, implies a spot cleaning. If you think about having a spot on your clothes or maybe a spot on your carpet, and you take a little bit of cleaner and you're just doing a little bit of a spot cleaning, That is one of the terms that Jesus used, as opposed to the other term, which meant a deep cleaning, where you're going to get in there, you're going to wash everything, you're going to, you know, whether it's that article of clothing that you're going to put into the wash machine and fully clean it, or whether it's that the spot on the carpet that you're going to bring in a carpet cleaner to try to get that out. The one word is bathe. The one word is bathe, is completely clean. Despite needing to have their feet routinely washed, being bathed would be unnecessary, essentially. So, this all of a sudden culminates, and I want to read this scripture and put it into context so that you'll understand those two words. Essentially, what Jesus was implying in this particular verse is he's saying, you, being Peter, are bathed, meaning fully clean, but not every one of you. Yeah, meaning not everyone who are here are bathed clean. And he was making a reference to Judas, because we know that Judas was not saved. So what he was saying, and how we can make a spiritual application in our lives to this particular verse, is that even though we are born again, even though we are saved, that doesn't mean that we don't sin. That means that when we sin and we go to the Lord for repentance, that's a spot cleaning. When we are, before we're saved, we are completely filthy, dirty, as it were. And when we trust in Christ, he washes us, he cleanses us. The word says that he washes us white as snow. Now, again, it means that we're not perfect. We're going to sin after salvation, but through repentance, it's a spot cleaning. So this is what he was getting across to Peter at this particular point, and also pointing out the fact that not everybody in that room was fully clean, meaning saved, meaning salvation. And of course, we know that Judas Iscariot was also one that was in that room. So when you think about the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach Peter, all the disciples, and you and I, what do you think that lesson was? What do you think that he was trying to get across to them by doing the foot washing with Peter? Well, I could culminate that by saying this. The one lesson that he really wants us to learn through this particular passage is that, are you ready for it? Service to others. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be able to serve others. You know, when we were talking before about those times, or I asked you if you could remember a time when you did something that was it was kind of out of your comfort zone in regard to service to somebody else. I can think of examples where I've been to a hospital before, and where there was a patient who was either sick or weak, or whatever the case may be, and their lunch arrived, and taking that time to feed somebody, to reach out to them. I think about our brother Pastor Donis over in Cuba, who oftentimes you'll see him sitting there with those senior adults, and he will be feeding them because he loves them, because he cares for them. He wants to be the hands of Jesus to feed that individual. Those are things that are uncomfortable for each and every one of us. Now, we also have to keep in mind what Jesus said when he said this. It said that he came to serve, not to be served. Today, we're in this society of everybody who wants to be served by somebody else, but Jesus has called us as believers to serve other folks, regardless of what position or situation they may be in. It doesn't just have to be somebody lowly. I think some of the most interesting service times are when you do something for somebody who could really do it themselves, but you did it out of a heart of love. You did it because Jesus led you to do that. So the message that he is wanting to get across to you and I through this particular passage is he wants us to serve other people. And at times, that's going to be humiliating. And when I say humiliating, I don't mean that in a negative sense of the term. I mean it in an uncomfortable sense of the term. It will humble you. I still remember one time when we did a deacon ordination here at the church, and that was one of the acts that we did. We did a foot washing for those two deacons that were being ordained at that particular time. And it was to teach the lesson that Jesus was teaching Peter and the disciples. And it was a visible lesson for all in our church to see that when you serve the Lord, he has called us to positions of humility. He has called us to serve other folks, regardless of what the circumstances and regardless of what the situation may be. So when we start getting down, to the latter part of these passages that we're looking at today, And we see the understanding of what Jesus has said to Peter. And he says in that verse 10, the latter part of it, he says, let's just go with the whole verse 10. It says, but Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. In other words, a person that is saved may sin again, but that's like a spot cleaning. It says, but is completely clean. And you are clean. That was what he was telling Peter. He says, you are a believer, but not all of you are. He was making that reference to Judas Iscariot at that particular point. And then as we go on in verse 11, it says, for he knew, Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Verse 12, so when he had washed his feet and taken his garment, he sat down again and he said to them, and here's the point where Jesus says, I'm going to explain to you the lesson that I wanted you to know with this illustration that I've just given you by washing your feet. Verse 12 says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? He says, you call me, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. In other words, Jesus said, you're right. I am your teacher. I am your Lord. And that's what you say. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, that doesn't, not necessarily in the literal sense. He was given that in a teaching and in a figurative sense. He says, what I have done to you in a way of service, I am calling you to do for your fellow brothers and sisters. Will you do that? Even if it's a humbling type of a calling, even if it is something that you do that is completely out of your comfort zone, the Lord is calling us to serve other folks, not to be served, but to serve other folks. Now, verse 15 says this. He culminates it with, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. You know, he says, I'm not asking you to do anything that I won't do myself. I believe that that is a key in leadership as well. You know, leaders should never ask followers to do something that they are unwilling to do themselves. From the position of a pastor, I want you to know to my friends and family and my brothers and sisters of Central, I'll never ask you to do something that I am unwilling to do myself. What I do ask you to do is join me as we serve the Lord. And not all the things that we do are going to be the fun and exciting things. Some of them will be the humbling things. Some of those will be service to other people because they can't. Some will be service to other people simply because the Lord has led us to, even when they can. So I want to challenge you over this next week, maybe not this next week, but as you go forward, to look to see where God is wanting you to serve him in a position that is completely outside of your comfort zone. To start with, I would ask you to look for the opportunities that he is calling you to serve him, period, whether they're in your comfort zone or not, and to be of service to our Lord and Savior. Sometimes it's the simplest things that make people's day. Sometimes it's a simple hello. Sometimes it's a phone call. You know, I've run into a lot of folks who through the time of COVID-19 and the time of the quarantine are just desperate to have somebody to talk to. They're lonely. You know, pick up a phone, call somebody. Let the Lord lead you to who that may be. Take the opportunity to do something in the name of service for our Lord and Savior, not for yourself, but in the name of service for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you do that this week? I trust and pray that God will move you in his direction and that you will take the opportunity to be the hands, the feet, the voice, the delivery person of our Lord and Savior, not only in the bad times, but also in the good times. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then I'll tell you about what we've got going for next week. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Help us as we serve you to realize that you have called us to be foot washers. You called us to be just like you. You said, follow your example. And in the word, it says that you came to serve others, not to be served. Help us, Father, to understand that beyond anything we've ever understood before. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us and give us opportunities. Help us to be wise in looking for the opportunities that you bestow upon us to truly be used by you. Lord, give us a good week. Bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I wanted to kind of give you the scriptures for next week. As a reminder, please keep the Williams family in your prayers. For this coming Sunday. For those of you who may already know, if you've been watching us by way of our social media pages or our website, we are meeting back on campus at the church. We essentially have four or five different venues. If you want to drive up and you still want to sit in the car, you can do that. You'll hear it by way of the speakers outside. If you want to drive up and bring a lawn chair and sit on the lawn, feel free to do that as well. You'll be able to hear the broadcast through the speakers outside as well. If you want to come in, I know it's been really hot and humid here lately. I don't know what Sunday's weather will be, but you can come into the multi-purpose building. If you do that, please bring your own chair there as well so that we can social distance as best we can. We will have the air conditioning on. I will actually be preaching from the multi-purpose building. Actually, it won't be me this week. That reminds me. This coming Sunday is actually graduation Sunday. Pastor David Gant will be preaching this coming Sunday. We're going to be honoring our graduates. It still will be taking place on all these venues. He will still be actually preaching in the multi-purpose building. So if you want to be able to actually see the preacher, multi-purpose building is where you'll need to be. Bring your own chair. If you're more comfortable in the sanctuary setting of our church, that is open as well. And the message is simulcasted onto the big screen into the sanctuary. So we have all those venues. Please pray for our brother David as he's going to be preaching for graduation Sunday. Our graduates will have tables set up. And if you have an opportunity, please pass by there, look at their accomplishments and the things that they've done, and be sure to give them a hearty congratulations. We're thankful for David, who's been putting it up on our social media pages, our graduates, where they've graduated from, any significant academic achievements, as well as what their future plans are. So keep looking for those. You'll get one each day. I believe today was day two of seeing that. So next week we've got passages. Let me go ahead and give you our passages for our next Wednesday evening Bible study. Please read John chapter 18 through Acts chapter 1. That's John chapters 18 through Acts chapter 1. And our focal passage for next Wednesday is going to come from John chapter 21, verses 3 through 17. Again, that's John chapter 21, verses 3 through 17. And that is your Bible reading for the week that will end on June the 17th. I will also put those up on our social media page so that you'll have an opportunity to see them. I just want to say God bless you. I love you. Thank you for all your support during this unusual time of COVID-19. We are looking forward to seeing you as you have a chance. And as always, if you don't feel comfortable getting back out yet and getting in the main flow of traffic and public, please don't do that. We want you to know we love you. We're here for you. We understand your situation. We understand your position. But we do look forward to those that are feeling comfortable enough to get back together and hear the word of God together as a church family. We're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. Have a great week. God bless you.